Hey kids, today's beverage, because it's a beautiful summer Sunday morning in Southern California, is a mimosa. Yep, that's a little glass of perfect right there. Well, recently, Tommy and I resubscribed to HBO, mostly because of Ali G and Bill Maher. We also, as a little bonus, got the Sundance Channel. Now, I love Al Franken, and I love the fact that he has a nightly hour from his Daily Air America radio show, but that's not why I'm mentioning it. This month on the Sundance Channel, they are airing the documentary Unprecedented, the 2000 Presidential Election. This film should be required viewing for every American man, woman, or child, especially of voting age. The next airings are on Tuesday, September 14th, and Monday, September 20th. If you get the Sundance Channel, make time. Tape it, whatever, but you need to see this. The thing about this version they are currently airing is that they have updated it and are calling it the 2004 Campaign Edition. They now also discuss the electronic voting irregularities of the 2002 midterm elections and what a horror these voting machines are. Hey, at last! I don't feel so much like Cassandra! For those of you without access to the Sundance Channel, you can check this out at www.unprecedented.org. Please do this. It is very, very, very important. In a nutshell, it uncovers details about how wide a net the voter purge lists tried to catch, the hired GOP protesters and what they did to stop a legal recount, the butterfly ballots, the uncounted ballots, the newspaper consortium recount and its subsequent findings, along with the misleading headlines that were printed as a result, the U.S. Supreme Court's illegal not only hearing of the case, but of its unconstitutional decision in Bush v. Gore, and also the surprise Republican upsets in a majority of midterm elections wherever there were electronic voting machines being used. Unfortunately, the mainstream media is suppressing this, what should be a front page, above the fold, ongoing story. Now, most of you who have been listening to BCR for a while now know exactly how I feel about the danger of electronic voting. And for those of you who don't and are new, all I have to say is, vote absentee. The reason I am bringing this up is because watching the film, coupled with the hideous, over-the-line recent threat made by our terrorist-in-chief Dick Cheney of how making the wrong choice in November would cause a terrorist attack, made me wonder. Since they went to such great lengths in 2000, what are they going to do this time? More importantly, what is already in the works? Do you doubt they will do anything to stay in power? I can say it's already starting here in California with the Gropinator. And why is Marie Schreiber still married to that thing? I cannot comprehend that. Anyway, right now in California, our wonderful Secretary of State, Kevin Shelley, has decertified Diebold machines in all counties using a certain type of their e-voting machines because not only of widespread outcry from citizens, but mainly because of their lack of accountability. Because of that, Arnold was initially withholding $17.5 million in federal election funds that was supposed to go to the counties and train poll workers, among a multitude of other things. Also, according to investigations recently by Bev Harris and Andy Stevenson at blackboxvoting.org, an internal Diebold email possibly suggests political retaliation to Kevin Shelley's demands. Huh. No big surprise. And just a little tidbit for those that don't think California isn't already stolen. Like the Kerry campaign, who isn't bothering to air any commercials here. Every county that used only electronic voting machines here in the recall election went for Arnold and the recall. Those with paper ballots were against the recall. Huh. Now, that's just what is visible on the surface and what I can see from my tiny little limited perspective. Let me tell you something. Just relax for a moment. Let your mind wander. Take a deep breath. Are you relaxed? Let me tell you all why we're here. We're here because we know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. We felt it for a while now, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. It's this feeling that has brought us all here. Do you want to know what it is? It's all around us, even now in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your TV. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It's the world that has been pulled over our eyes to blind us from the truth. We've all become willing slaves of our United States of corporate America. Very much like Neo's world of the Matrix, we have slipped into bondage, into a prison that you can't smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is our last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends, you wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you awaken and see the world as it really is, and we find out how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Are you ready to take the red pill? That's all for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Censorship, it's all the rage. All the rage. Whether you're an established newscaster reading the names of war dead or James Brolin pretending to be Reagan, if a major corporation doesn't want the American public to see you, there's a good chance you won't be seen. Case in point, the latest film by universally beloved, never controversial, filmmaker Michael Moore. Fahrenheit 9/11 criticizes President Bush's handling of September 11th and details the relationship between the Bush family and the Bin Laden family. Here's a safe guess. They didn't meet at a bar mitzvah. Michael Moore offered his usual paranoia over Disney's decision.
This is a movie that they're afraid of, and for political reasons, they're not distributing it.
That's crazy left-wing talk. After all, Disney owns WABC. They distribute Limbaugh. Michael Eisner. Come around, folks. Michael Eisner set him straight.
We just didn't want to be in the middle of a politically oriented film during election year.
Oh. Yes. People don't want to see political films in an election year. It's the same smart planning that caused Disney to say, hey, you know who'd love a theme park? The French. But Moore claims Disney's move isn't just about politics, it's about money.
Disney was afraid of offending Jeb Bush because they were up for millions of dollars of tax abatements and tax incentives in the state of Florida.
Well, yes, Disney World gets tax breaks. How else can they keep the cost of a one-day fun pass down to $823? Of course, the biggest winner in all this is Moore. He's using the negative publicity to generate tons more press for his film. It's a maneuver Hollywood insiders call pulling a pageant.
I raise my head. Send them looking out for that woman.
there. He watched that putt go in the hole.
Excellent. BJ's trying to get to number one in style, Hal.
He's played so well for so long.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
This has got to be tough for this man to take right here, too, because he has shown more heart and more will this year than he may have ever shown in his entire career.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Come on, boy. Oh, well, borrowing a train wreck on 18 for BJ. We're going to swap rankings this week.
Yes.
What you heard there was the sound of the PGA getting back their integrity. For them to stand there year after year and insist that the man who can't win a golf tournament is the greatest ever is just so ridiculous on its face. You'd think you were hearing it from Rush or Hannity or O'Reilly. It's so stupid and it's so illogical and inconceivable that the greatest in the world can't win a tournament in the second half of 2002, can't win a tournament in 2003, can't win a tournament in 2004, but he's the greatest. He's the greatest. The number one top golfer in the world, but he can't win, but he's the greatest. He's number one. Well, now you got a little integrity back, PGA. Congratulations. You've turned your last trick for a while. You've gotten a job. Congratulations. You're off the junk. You took the needle out of your arm. I'm real proud of you. Of course, you got forced into this. You wanted to keep Tiger on as the big champion forever. But time just caught up with you. Too many people were just laughing at you. The greatest golfer in the world. And he can't win a tournament. Oh, please.
More problems with the White House. A new investigation by the Boston Globe has concluded that President Bush fell well short of meeting his military obligations when he was in the National Guard.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Well, wait till those swift vote veterans for truth find out about this. They'll be furious. They'll get right to the bottom of that. Well, listen to this. According to a global poll, if the world could vote for President of the United States, if the world could vote, they would choose John Kerry over President Bush. However, when the poll includes the Federation of Planets, then Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader. Well, according to the latest poll today, Ralph Nader is down to 1% of the popular vote. 1%. That's embarrassing. 1%. He's even trailing low-fat milk. That's 2%. Low-fat milk is 2%.
Here's a song by my good friend Tyler.
There shouldn't be a smile on an animal's face, yes. But maybe you're gonna make it.
The Bush daughters here, and I want to defend them a little because I really thought that they were charming, and I never went after, you know, I never did a lot of jokes about them. They're their family, and you know what? I want to show you a little piece of the tape because I thought they were very bold to make this joke about Grandma Bush, about Barbara Bush Senior or the Third or whatever she is.
She thinks Sex in the City is something married people do, but never talk about.
And they're just delightful little rapscallions. And what I loved about them is that they were the only ones at the whole convention who kind of went off message and made people kind of nervous. So we got a hold of their notebook that had some of the... This is some of the jokes that they were not allowed to do. I mean, if you thought those were bold, listen to this. I love this. Jenna says, every important Republican in America is here. And the other one says, do you realize if this building were to collapse right now, it would probably be because our father ignored another intelligence briefing? Listen to this. One of them was going to say, after Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, Bob Dole was a great comfort. He told Dad it also takes him 7 minutes to get up. I love this one. And we had a hamster, too. Let's just say ours didn't make it. It died after Ralph Reed shoved it up his ass. And finally, here's my favorite. Some people just have a thing for twins, and we're constantly being asked if we're interested in a three-way. But enough about Dick Cheney's daughter. Anyway,
President Bush said today he has no plans to read that new book that trashes him by Kitty Kelly, new book out, trashes him. President Bush says he has no plans to read the book, and reporters asked him why he wasn't going to read it. Bush said, well, because it's a book.
Mary Cheney, you know, she's in New York. It's lesbian nirvana. She was probably out trying to get laid. She may not have been.
You're right.
Okay.
The difference is, she has a long-term partner.
Yep.
She has a wife.
Right.
So, and not only do they not let on her on the stage, they didn't let her partner on the stage. Because
no, wait,
they are trying.
Do we know that? She was...
Absolutely, we know that.
She has said, I was asked not to participate.
No.
Or is this something...
She doesn't have to.
She
She's already being put in this horrible situation where she has to choose between her life and her career and her own identity.
Right.
And it's destroying people's families across the country, and it's wrong for the Republicans to promote it.
I also think it's interesting that Alan Keyes... conservative firebrand Alan Keyes, running for senator in Illinois. This week, he called Mary Cheney a sinner. And then he said, being homosexual, he said, it's selfish hedonism. Which kind of makes it sound like he would like to suck a cock. But he just has a little bit too much discipline.
I love the fortune cookies the Family Research Council set out. In the fortune cookie, it said, real men marry women. So, like, the Pope and Jesus aren't real men.
Enough with the vacations. We see pictures of you on bikes. We see pictures of you on skis. We see pictures of you on a windsurf board. Hey, Michael Dukakis just called. He wants to know if you want to borrow the tank. From now on, your sport is slinging mud. New rule. If you're watching people play cards on TV, you either need a better hobby or a drinking problem.
Well, now, you probably figured that was going to get a rise out of me, and it has. I mean, it's okay to have the opinion that watching a poker game on TV is boring and stupid, but in a whole lot of cases, one of the Bart Cop staples is, compared to what? In my opinion, when you watch a poker game, you're looking at a match of wits. You got to look the guy right in the eye and decide if he's lying or not. Now think how much that can help you in your life. Are you saying it makes more sense to watch multimillionaires in short pants run up and down a linoleum floor dribbling a rubber ball to see who can drop it in the basket best or most often? Christ, you call that a good use of your time? What are you going to learn watching a basketball game? Or what about watching a bunch of men in plaid pants walk around a park with sticks knocking a teeny tiny ball into a little cup? That's what you're going to do on a Saturday afternoon? Watch a bunch of grown men hit a little bitty ball into a little cup? My God, compared to that, poker is the most manly thing there is. At least with a poker game, you got people making decisions. You've got a battle. You've got two minds butting up against each other. The force of will, trying to outlast the other guy, trying to outwit the other guy. You're bluffing him and you're calling his bluff. That is very manly. Now, short pants dropping a ball into a basket and plaid pants knocking a little ball into a cup. I mean, Jesus Christ. I don't even know how those things got to be sport. So yeah, Bill Maher, if you think it's a bad idea to sit around and watch playing poker, well, gee, compared to golf or basketball, all of a sudden it looks real good.
New rules. You can't run on a mistake. Franklin Roosevelt didn't run for re-election, claiming Pearl Harbor was his finest hour. Abe Lincoln was a great president, but the high point of his second term wasn't theater security. 9/11 wasn't a triumph of the human spirit. It was a fuck-up by a guy on vacation.
Boy, I love straight talk. And that's what that was. 9/11 was a fuck-up by a guy on vacation. And that's at best. We don't know what Bush knew ahead of time. We don't know if they told him, we think Osama's coming. Yes, now we have confirmation. We think it's going to happen in the next week. So why don't you go find a goat book and some kids and stay out of harm's way? We don't know exactly what we have on 9/11. Because Bob Kerry and Lee Hamilton and the whitewash panel covered the whole son of a bitch up. We're never going to know what happened, just like with Iran-Contra, just like everything the BFEE is involved in. It's all covered up because we've got to go chase after Clinton to see if he might have had any sex lately. That's all the investigations are for, to check into the Democrat sex life. Any major global crimes done by Republicans is off limits. That's a fact. But thank the Lord we got somebody like Bill Maher who's going to come in and speak the plain effing truth. Thank you, Bill Maher. Oh, Bill, would you have any interest in writing speeches for Kerry? He really, 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 really badly needs someone that can speak frankly in plain language to help him write speeches. You got some time to help out an old Democrat?
Now, don't get me wrong, Mr. President. I am not blaming you for 9/11. We have blue ribbon commissions to do that. And I'm not saying there was anything improper about your immediate response to the attacks. Someone had to stay in that classroom and protect those kids from Chechen rebels. But by the looks of your convention, you'd think that the worst thing that ever happened to us was the best thing that ever happened to you. You just can't keep celebrating the deadliest attack ever as if it's your personal rendezvous with greatness. You don't see old men who were shot down during World War II jumping out of a plane every year. I mean, other than your dad. But even your dad didn't run for re-election based on a recession and his propensity to barf on the Japanese. Now, I know you'd like us all to get swept away with emotionalism and stop sweating the small stuff like the deficit and the environment and focus on what's really important, how you look in a fireman's hat. But crying during your speech? I mean, come on. There's no crying in politics. It's not fair. That's a trick chicks use. How are we supposed to discuss this rationally if you're going to cry? There's a name for people who exploit their participation in historical events for political gain. They're called the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. According to People magazine, you know, Kev, they check, recheck.
Check
the facts again. Paris Hilton does not have blue eyes. She wears color contacts. Her hair is naturally curly, and she gets it professionally straightened. Well, you know something? I don't think I can watch that video the same way again.
Your speech really was, I thought, very impressive at the convention. And when you said we should view the other party as our opponents and not our enemies, was your mic on?
Well, it's obvious that the message came through loud and clear. I think that maybe John Kerry must have shot his dog. You think?
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, that was show 54. I hope you liked it. But hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Appreciate the occasional check that arrives in the mail. Some of you senior pillars have gotten some CDs in the mail. We're trying to get a little action going on the CDs. As you know, you can put them on at parties and entertain your friends, but that doesn't work too well with Grandma and the kids in the room. But that was show 54. I'll get to work on show 55. I got nothing. And we'll make 55 better than 54, and by God, by the time we get to show 100, they'll be entertaining as hell. Thanks for listening. Bart out.
Bangkok. Orientals sitting in the city don't know what the city is. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the balls ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden oyster. And if you're lucky, then the gods are she. I can feel an angel sliding up to me.
One town's very like another when your head's down over your pieces, brother.
It's a drag, it's a bore, it's sweet as such a pity to be looking at the bar, not looking at the city.
What do you mean? You see one crowded, polluted, thinking town. Get tired, you're talking to a tourist whose every move's among the purest. I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
One night in Bangkok makes a heart man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night in Bangkok in the tough jazz tumble. Can't be too careful with your company. I can feel the devil walking next to me.
Watching the game, controlling it. I don't see you guys rating the kind of mate I'm contemplating. I'd let you watch, I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you. So you better go back to your bars, your temples, your massage parlors.
One night.